touch of God. Don't that ain't wonderful? That's what we need. Hallelujah. Got your Bibles? Turn with me to the first chapter of the book of Ephesians. Chapter number one. All the book of Ephesians. What a rich book. It's all the Bible is rich, but what a rich book this is. Chapter 1 of the book of Ephesians, verse number 1 says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God. Hey, you're telling me, weren't Paul's side he going to be no apostle? It weren't even Paul's side he going to get saved on the road to Damascus. God's will. You know why you're sitting here this morning? Will of God. It weren't the will of man. It weren't them old wills we was born with. But he said, apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God to the saints, which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who blessed us with all spiritual blessings, all of them, in heavenly places in Christ. Now I want you to notice, we nothing apart from Christ. We get nothing apart from Christ. We receive nothing apart from Christ. We're not even accepted in any way except through Christ. It's all in Him. We're chosen in Him. Amen. So it's all in Christ. Even the blessings. He says, in Christ. Verse number 4 says, according as He has chosen us. There it is again. In Him. Before the foundation of the world. Oh, that'll blow your mind about it, won't it? But it's still in the Word of God. I'm just going to read it like it is. And believe it like it says. Before the foundation of the world, it says. But it's all in Him. That we should be holy. He didn't choose us because we were holy, but He chose us that we should be there and that He would conform us into the image of His Son. I was thinking about a verse of Scripture, and you get to reading the Word of God about the mind being us as the mind in Christ. I preached a little bit Friday night on the fact that He ought to stir up our pure mind, but our mind's not pure enough to get stirred up. Now, He said in Romans 12:1, He said, not be conformed to the world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what that good and perfect and acceptable will of God is. And so He said, us don't be conformed to the world, be transformed. But you know what Jesus is talking about? He's conforming us, but He didn't save us to conform us to the world. He saved us to take us out of the world and conform us into the image of His Son and give us the mind of Christ. And so listen, thank God He's chosen us in Him that we should be holy. Listen, God begins to work when He gets in our lives, and thank God He does when we're born again. When He gets begin to work on our lives, He starts to make us and conform us unto the image of His Son. And you know what? You think His Son's holy? You better know He is. And He's conforming us into His Son. It said that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Verse 5 says, having predestined us in the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself according to the good pleasure of His will. I always wondered why. I thought about a lot of times, why did God say He adopted us? And then we've got to be born again. But you know what? You don't adopt your own children. You stop them, children, just weigh in. You don't adopt your own children. And He adopts us. You know why? Because listen, we had that old vile, wicked, we was from another crowd. I want to say a crew. But He has to adopt us. He does adopt us. You know, when you adopt somebody, it's not your own children. And that's why he said to us, he adopted us, because we weren't his own children. And then he wrought the work of grace in our hearts, and we were born again. And somebody said, we twice the sons of God. We adopted sons of God, and we born again sons of God. I want to praise him for it. And so he said in the Word of God, he said in verse, have destined in us unto adoption. It said of children by Jesus Christ. It's all by him. He adopted us by cause of Christ. To himself, unto himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. It's the pleasure of God and his will that he even did that. Hallelujah. Then he goes on down and he says something else. In this next verse, to the praise of his glory, of his grace, praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he made us accepted in the beloved. Hallelujah, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to his riches of his grace, wherein he have abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, have made on us the mystery of his will, according to the good pleasure which he had purposed in himself, that in the fullness of the dispensation, the fullness of time, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are in the earth, or even on the earth, even in him. Notice what he said in verse number 6. Now I want to pray. And to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he had made us accepted in the beloved. I'm glad. Glory to God. If you ever felt like you wasn't accepted, he said he's accepted us. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad that he does? Oh, yeah. You know, listen, I'm glad he does. Father, bless the reading of the word. Our Father, we pray that you take it and prick it to our hearts this morning. Glorify your Son. Confirm us into your image. Our Father, we do pray that one day, our Father, we completely transformed into your likeness when we see you as you are, blessed God. Now have your way in every heart, in every life. I pray that wouldn't one of us leave here this morning but totally, completely surrendering to your perfect will in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. To the praise of his glory. Hallelujah. Where it has made us accepted in the beloved. I'm glad that God, in his sovereign grace and mercy, accepts. I'm glad he accepts sinners, don't you? Hadn't he, wouldn't ever accepted us. But thank God we become to the Savior. We become, listen, what he said up here. He said to the saints. I'm telling you, God accepts sinners, and he makes saints out of them. You said, I don't feel like I'm good enough to be an old saint. No, none of us are. But he said, in Christ, he accepts us in him. I'm glad that we can be accepted in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm thankful that we can not only get into the family of God, but listen, you may live a life and you may think, well, listen, somebody don't love me. They don't always remember one thing. God loves you. And God accepts you. Whether you think about it or not, you don't feel like you're accepted in the generation. You don't feel like you're accepted by such different people. You may say, well, I'm not high up on the ladder to be accepted by them. Hey, just forget that and get that out of your mind. I'm telling you something. God accepts me. And when he accepts you, whether anybody else accepts us or not, we've been accepted in him by God the Father because of his Son. He accepted me. Hallelujah. My Lord does. I'm glad he don't reject me now. If you wait till the judgment, you say, well, he'll accept me then. No, if you don't accept him now, he'll be too late then. Be very, very much too late. But I want to start back over these verses. We may go through some more in this chapter when he said something here. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God. Mentioned a while ago. It was the will of God. If anybody would have told somebody, before Paul got converted that he was going to be an apostle, they probably would have told you, you don't know what you're talking about. The Lord's own disciples, a lot of the Christians, were scared of him. Can't you imagine why they would have been? What was he doing? He was making havoc of the church. The Apostle Paul was holding Christians in and taking them. They were casting them in jail and persecuting them. The Apostle Paul was in that. But God said, God called him. Apostle of the Jews. He said, Apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God. God's will. It was God's will for Paul. And God saw to it that it come to pass. Yes, he did. Then he said, Ephesians, second verse says, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace and peace. Grace unto you and peace. The only real peace you'll ever have is when you find the true and living word of grace. It's grace that brings true peace of God to your heart. We're living in a restless time when hardly no one's got much peace everywhere. But thank God for the grace of God. Grace unto you. And peace. Thank the Lord. And it comes from God the Father. And comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me ask you a question this morning. Do you have peace? Are you enjoying the grace of God? Are you enjoying the peace of God? It's available. Available. How do we get peace? You got to work it up? Nope. Got to try to earn it? Nope. Just rest in the grace of God that brings peace. Oh, he'll keep us in perfect peace whose minds are stayed on thee. There's that mind again. You ever had a problem with your mind wandering? I do. It tries to run off yonder sometime. Huh? I mean, I'd be studying the Bible sometime and I want to run somewhere or another. I said, get back in here, boy. Hey, I'm serious. Well, you might not want to admit it, but it's true, ain't it? But you know what? Thank God for that grace. Grace! Grace of God! Hallelujah. Yeah, peace. We know where it comes from. That's why there will never be no peace. They can say, sign all the peace treaties they want to. They can have all the world meetings they want to have. But they're never going to really be no peace until the Prince of Peace comes. And you know who that is. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God he's coming. He's coming. He's closer than ever been. He's coming. Yes, he is. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, verse number 3, who blessed us. Who blessed us? He blessed us. What are we blessing him, hadn't we? How would he bless us with? All spiritual blessing. You know, you hear a lot about sometimes, especially if you watch some preaching sometime on TV, you hear a lot about material blessings, honestly, and blessings of all things in this life more than you do the spiritual blessings. But I'm going to tell you what number one blessing is. It's not maybe the physical, or maybe the financial, or maybe the other things in this life that we have to get through this life, and thank God for all these, and that is a blessing. But the main blessing is all spiritual blessings. And this is what I like about it. You don't have to be rich in this world to get them. You don't have to have a lot of stocks and bonds and none of it. You don't have to have much of money in the bank. You don't have to have this and that and the other in this life to be blessed with spiritual blessings. I saw some saints when we were growing up that would shout and dance. Didn't have a penny to the name. Listen, didn't have this, didn't have that. But thank God and blessed them with spiritual blessings. And they was praising God like you've never seen in a long time. Why? God had blessed them with all spiritual blessings. They were blessed with spiritual blessings. It's the best blessing you can have. It's spiritual blessings. Be blessed. Oh, glory to God. You said, I didn't know that was in the Bible. It's in there. You can have spiritual blessings. Well, we're not just body, you know. We body, soul, and spirit. And not just the blessings that takes care of the body we need. We got to have them if we're gonna, as long as we stay in this life. Don't get me wrong. But there's an inner man that we need to be blessed. Spiritual blessing. I want to tell you something. It's a real blessing to be able to read this book and God begin to open it up to you. And you can see it. The natural man receiveth not the things of the spiritual things of God. Neither can he know them, neither can he understand them. But God has blessed us and blessed you as his adopted child, as his chosen one, that he chose and adopted and accepted in the beloved. He has chosen us, he accepted us, he's adopted us, and he's blessed us with all spiritual blessings. And that's the most wonderful thing, glory to God, that you'll ever think about. It's being blessed with spiritual blessing. All of them. Not part of them, but it's all. It's all yours. So like I read one time, there was a family raised, they were so poor, they had to take even their milk. I guess that's what got my attention to it, was even the milk they had to pour just so much in each glass. Couldn't fill up the glass. Or sometimes they'd just put it all in one and one had drank so much, hadn't had drank so much, hadn't had drank so much. And said somebody got a hold of them, got a hold of that to see what they was going through with, and they poured this little girl a glass of milk. You know what she said to him? How much can I drink? How much can I drink? He said, all of it, child, all of it, if you so desire. And so I want to say, someone said, well, I'm afraid to drink up all these spiritual blessings because it might not leave none for nobody. Honey, you can drink it to the full. God said, fill your cup and run it over and you can drink from it. Glory to God, you can drink from it. Let's quit being paupers. Let's quit being, listen, beggars. God's got something for us. He's blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Let's quit being anemic. Let's quit being, listen, not full on the Word of God. Why? He's blessed us with all spiritual blessings. And he's made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I don't know if that's in this chapter or not, but it's in there. Can't remember. But you know what? Woo! Where are you sitting? He said, I'm sitting right here at the Calvary Baptist Church in one of these thankful good pews. They are good to sit on. Where else are you sitting? Where are you going to be sitting now? Where are you going to be sitting when you get home? Where are you going to be sitting when you get out in the car? In heavenly places. But guess where it is? In, where, Brother Donnie? In Christ Jesus. That's it. In him. If I'm in him, and I am, and he's sitting, if I were with the Father, the right hand of the Father in heaven, where am I at? I'm in him. I'm sitting up there with him. He said, you crazy. No, I'm not. Not yet. And what the book said, I know I'm standing here before you, but really in reality, I'm sitting together with him, in heavenly places. Oh, glory to God. That's what keeps me going. That's what keeps me moving. But I know where I am. I know whom I'm in. I'm in Christ. I hope if you're not in Him this morning before you leave here, you want to get in Him. He's accepted us in Him, our wonderful Lord. You see, He chose us in verse 4, in Him. I mentioned that a while ago. Then He says He predestinated us in verse 5 unto the adoption of children by, hence all by Jesus Christ, to Himself. I like that, to Himself. It's His good pleasure. And He's made us accepted. Verse 7 says we have redemption through His blood. It says, His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. It's everything His. It's His grace. It's through Him. It's forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. We have redemption through His blood. Thank God it's all His. I don't know about you, but the quicker you can relax and rely and rest on our wonderful Lord and what He's done for you, what He's doing for you, and what He's got waiting for us. You see in all Ephesians, past, the present, and the future work of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. You see all this in this very chapter. You sure do. Thank God for what He's done for us, our wonderful Lord. And then He goes on down. He says, He makes known unto us the mischievous will. Verse number 9. A mischievous will according to His good pleasure. It's God's good pleasure to make known His mischievous will to us, which He purposed in Himself. God purposed in Himself. Listen, you're not here, you're not where you are in life by accident. God's got a purpose and a plan for you and for me. No? I heard people say, well, it was 12 of us kids, really. One person died at birth. It was 11 of us. Two of them passed away to my sorrow, but to my gladness also. But I was a 9th and born in our family. Well, why mama have so many youngs, you reckon? You know what I used to tell, and still do tell people? Well, I'm glad she did. She ain't had no more than I did. I wouldn't have been born. But God's got a purpose, folks. It wasn't an accident. He said, well, they didn't know about you. And I'm going to tell you what God knew. He knew what was going on. And He knew that He wanted you born. Wherever family you born in, He knew He wanted me born. He had a purpose for me. And I want to tell you something. I'll tell you, when God, He chose us, hey, He called old John the Baptist. He knew what John the Baptist had. That's the reason John the Baptist was born. And he knew he got filled with the Holy Ghost right in his mother's womb. And that's right, ain't it, preacher? He did, didn't he? I'm telling you, he leaped in his mother's womb. And he leaped for joy in his mother's womb. Why? He heard what was coming. He heard about the Lord. He was a forerunner, but God mightily used him. God's got a purpose for you. That's the reason you're still here. God's got a will for your life. And it's not somebody else's, it's your will. It's God's will for you. And God's will for me. You know why some people, and it's sad, some people even take their own life. They don't see anything to live for. They don't see no purpose in life. And they don't see no things getting better. Well, I'm not going out there and take my life just because I don't see no things getting better. They may not get no better in this life, and don't look for them to, really. We on, like I said the other night, we're on the brink of war right now. We're at the end of time, the end of days. And you know what? We in the latter days. In fact, the last days started, actually, in his last days, when Pentecost. What's said in the book. In the latter days, God poured out his spirit. He'd been pouring it out. And we're getting a second dose of it now. And God is about to wind this thing up. But he's got a purpose. He's got a plan. He's got a will for your life and for my life. You know, I always say God saved me on purpose, for a purpose. And he wrote a purpose in our heart to try to find out what that purpose is and fulfill that purpose in our life. Have you been accepted? The only way he can accept you is in the beloved. But he says in verse number 10, he purposed it in himself, but in verse number 10 said that in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth. And listen to this, even in him. One of these days, God's going to gather everything. There's going to be a great gathering in of everything on this earth and everything in heaven. And you and I one day will be gathered together. The saints in heaven that's there with him now are coming back, and God's going to gather the saints from this earth, and we're all going to be gathered together one day. Woo! What a glorious day that's going to be! Have you ever thought about seeing some of them saints of old? I have. I sure like to see the old Apostle Paul. I like to see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Oh, yeah, and Peter, James, and John, all the disciples. It'll be a wonderful time, won't it? God's going to have a gathering. But guess what? Guess how they're all going to be gathered? Even in him. If you're not in him, you're a different gathering you'd be gathering at. Better be sure that you're in Christ. Very important. Very important that you're in Christ. Before we close, look quickly. Look at verse number. I'll skip a few verses. Verse number 16. Cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ and the Father of glory, verse number 17, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. I want to challenge you to go back and study this first chapter of the book of Ephesians. I'm just highlighting. He said, give unto you the spirit of wisdom. Amen. Paul was praying for him now. He's praying, God, give him the spirit of wisdom and give him a revelation of the knowledge of him. You know what the Bible says? He said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Thank you. A lack of knowledge. You know what? We need to ask God to give us a greater revelation of himself and a knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something. You can feast on him. You can rest on him. And you can rejoice in him. With a greater knowledge. That's why he keep telling us, I would not have you be ignorant, brethren. He don't want us to be ignorant of the scriptures. He don't want us to be ignorant of his will, of his word. He don't want us to be ignorant of the, listen, of his revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants us to know more about him and learn more about him, get more acquainted with him. We ought to, because we in him and he's for us. He's in us and we in him. Thank God. me is a hope of glory. And me in Christ is a wonderful thing. Hallelujah. Because you see all this is in Christ. If he gets in you, you're going to be in him. What a Savior. There's three what's here I want to just mention in these next few verses. Hallelujah. He says, verse 18, to the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that ye may know what? There's one what? What the hope of his calling. There's another what? What the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Woo! Folks, there's a lot of things we need to know. And he's wanting us to know. He said, oh, that you may know. Also, Paul writing down to the church at Ephesus, and he said, oh, I want you to know. I want you to know. I want you understanding. And you be enlightened. Don't want you to be in the dark. Don't want you to not know it. I want you to know what the hope of your calling is. We need to know what hope we got waiting on us. We sure do. And how rich, look here, hope of his calling. He called us, and there's a blessed hope in it. Look what he says, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. You know what? Everything, I want you to read this chapter and see how, just get home, read it again. Guess whose inheritance? It's his inheritance. Is his in the saints. Everything we have, or whatever we'll have, or we have up to now, and everything that's promised us, ever hope, Brother Danny, is the fact that we in him. You may say, well, I don't feel like he could accept me. I don't feel like God could accept me. Well, here's the secret. If you're in Christ, he accepts you in him. He accepts you because of him. He loves you. Listen, he loves you just like he loves his own son. And he accepts us. Now, I don't know about you. It's all like the fella coming home. The people accepted him. They accepted him because of their son that was with him. In the war and in the battle that got killed. And he went back to their house. Y'all probably heard me tell it before. He went back to their house. And when he told them that he was the one that was there with his son when he got killed in war, and he told them to come back and tell them. Well, you know what they did? Oh, they accepted him. You know how they accepted him? Just like the son. Oh, come on in. Didn't have hardly a shirt on his back the time he got there. He said, oh, come on in. You know why? They accepted him just like he had been their son. Took care of him, fed him, clothed him. Why? Because of their son. Why would God accept an old sinner like me? Why would he accept me? Why? Because of Jesus. Why would he accept you? Oh, wretched sinner. The only reason he would is because of him. Oh, it's rich, isn't it? That's what he said, the riches of his inheritance in the saints. He got some inheritance folk in us. Hallelujah. We got a heavenly inheritance that God's given us. What a wonderful Savior. And I try to say to you this morning, if you don't know this sweet Savior, this Lord Jesus Christ, a lot of people don't understand. They think it's an end to enjoying life if you come to Christ. Let me correct that. That's not the end. It's the beginning. Hallelujah. to know him. You can go to bed at night knowing if you don't wake up here, you'll wake up in glory. One old preacher said, "What's the last thing you do at night?" He said, "I put everything in place." He said, "For tomorrow. But I lay down and sleep at night." Listen, I want everything ready behind me in case he comes after me during the night. I'll wake up in glory. And so we have his inheritance in the saints. He said in verse number 19, what is exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power. And so we know what the riches of his inheritance of the saints is, and we know what the hope of our calling is. Then he says we need to know what the exceeding greatness of his power. And this is what he says. His power to usward. Don't forget. He said, "I want you to know the exceeding greatness of his power to usward." You see, God's got some power for you. You want to live for God? Trust him. If you want to live for God, just believe and trust him. He got power for you. Power for you. I'm going to tell you what, it didn't take me but about two days to realize when I come to Christ, I could not live for him by myself. I found out I didn't have the strength, but I found out I could trust him. And I could call on him. And if I did fail, and when I did, he's right there. He wasn't there to crush me and push me down. Brother Raymond, he was there to pick me up, love me, and give me strength and grace and power to go on and love him and serve him. So God wants you to know the greatness of his power toward us. He wants you to know what the riches of his inheritance, of his saints, he's got in his saints. Hey, he got something invested in you. Hey, by the way, I don't believe families arguing and squabbling and fighting over inheritances. Not at all. If you get in amongst that, just say, "Thank God. May not get nothing of this, but I got something over yonder. I got an inheritance over there. God's got one in me. He's invested in me. Sent his son to the cross. Paid the supreme sacrifice. And thank God what I got in him. Ain't nothing on this world can touch it. Nothing. Absolutely nothing can touch what God got waiting for us over there." But it's, let me get this before we leave. I just glanced back and saw it. It's to usward who what? Believe. You say, "Well, I just can't believe that." Well, just miss out on it then. Well, you can enjoy it now. It's to us that believe got that power. You will not believe what power comes through faith and believing. That's the only way we can get it. We can't work for it. We can't get good enough for it. We must believe. That power's for them that believe. It's us who believe. Did Abraham see the country before he ever left it? He did by faith. Did all those people in Romans chapter number 11, did they, listen, see the city that was promised to them? Did they see those things? No, but they kept traveling and they received them by faith. They saw him afar off. I see afar
Oh, thank God. What God's got prepared for us. And it makes me keep going. Hallelujah. Makes me keep pressing on. I'm not looking to this world. I'm not looking to the things of this life. It's beyond this life. See him afar off. By faith, the hours. Believe. He got power for you. You receive power to become the sons of God. And power to serve God. Power to live for God. We got it. And it's to us. And it's to us who believe. According to the working. Not of our power. This is it. His power. So you want to know how to live for God? It's going to take the power of God. Can't do it within yourself. Flesh too weak. Takes the power of God. Takes his mighty power. And he wrought it. He said he wrought that in Christ when he raised him from the dead. Same power that raised Christ from the dead. It's the same power he's got for us. I was telling somebody the other day, God showed me a lesson one time. You know, I had to keep going over to learn it good. I like fooling. I get on the bulldozer once in a while. I still do. I caught myself, Brother Tony. You got to keep, you know, them things are rough. You know, it ain't smooth. If you go over something, but it ain't got no cushion under that. But anyway, make a long story short, I learned something. You got to keep your feet, at least one of them against something, because you got to have something that got bracing. Well, I caught myself. I'd be pushing something, just pushing with my foot. And I thought to myself, what in the world am I doing? Well, I couldn't help but do it over to push nothing over and start with if I'd been behind it. But when I'm pushing on the foot, I was pushing back against the seat, so it wasn't doing a thing no how. But it wasn't doing them. You know what I realized? You know what? That tar you out. But you know what I realized, Brother Lee? I realized you know how to do that. That power is right there. Just let it do it. And you know what the Lord was saying to me? Just let me do it. Let me work through you. And you know what he says? He has to constantly keep telling me. I can't do it myself. No way. I can't even get up here by myself. But if I found out if I'd relax and just let the dozer do the work, give me a perfect example. If I could just rest on Christ, let him do the pushing. Let him do the digging. Let him supply the power. Rest in him. Trust him. He puts me in situations sometimes I ain't got no other thing to do but trust him. I'm serious. Amen. He'll give me messages sometimes. I say, well, Lord, I don't know. I ain't got time much to look at that. And he said, well, you just go on and do what I tell you to do. And I'm telling you, you got to obey him. I'm going to tell you, sometimes you meditate, you pray, you study, and look to the Lord. And God laid this on my heart. You know when? This morning while I was taking a shower. You said, would the Holy Ghost talk to you in there? Yeah, he's done it many a time. He can talk to you anywhere he wants to. The Word of God. But God's Word, listen, is powerful. The Bible said that. The Word of God is sharp, is powerful, sharper than the two-edged sword. It'll go on the vine, even to the sunder of the soul. It'll get in the marrow of the bones. The Word of God is powerful. And you know what? Let it do its work. Let it do its work. Let it do it. Word of God. And so we said, he said something, raised him up from the dead, set him in his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principalities and power, and might and dominion, never named that's named, that on this world, but also on that which is to come. Hallelujah. And I put all things under his feet and gave him the head of all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. God bless him on his word. May he speak to our hearts. He is able to do above and abundantly more than we can ask or think, according to the power that worketh where? In us. You don't let God work in you? He furnished the power. He got the power. And he said unto him that's able to do it, above all we can ask or think. That's a lot. And he wants to work in us to the glorify of his Son. To him be glory for now and forever. As you read that chapter again, maybe before the day is over, but look at it. Everything's in Christ. By him, for him, it's all there. It's in him. It's our Lord. To him be the praise and glory forever and ever. Amen. God took an apostle Paul. God's will for him to be apostle. Got him on the road to Damascus. Transformed him and changed him. Hallelujah. Now you know what? God's done that many times since then. He saved a many one. He's still saving. And it scared old Paul, and God saves people. Sometimes people scared. Have anything to do with it. But God's still on the throne. Would you stand with me this morning?